Good morning, ladies. Very warm welcome to you all to talk about the West Highland Museum's community slot. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hi there. My name is Vanessa Martin, and I'm curator manager at the West Highland Museum in Fort William.
I'm Flora McLeod. I'm the education and outreach officer for the last 3 months at the West Highland Museum.
And I'm Flora Fraser, author of Pretty Young Rebel, The Life of Flora MacDonald, which came out this month.
And we are very honoured to have you here to talk about today.
Well, thank you, Fiona. It's a great pleasure to be here.
It's wonderful to have you all here today. Vanessa, why don't you start by talking a little bit about the museum and what's going on there just now?
Well, this year is our centenary year, as you're probably aware. We've got lots going on at the museum. We have our Return of the Stuarts exhibition on at the moment, which is an iconic series of portraits of the Royal Stuarts in exile that has come across from Poland. Some have come from Scotland. These paintings have never been displayed before in the UK. Or some haven't been displayed for a century. So we're really excited about that exhibition. It's been running since the 18th of August and it's going to be here until the 29th of October. There is a small admission fee of £3, and that's to cover the cost of a security guard, but it is free to Loch Arbour residents, so we would sort of really encourage people to come along and see these portraits. They are really high quality portraits that were sort of painted by top portrait artists of the 18th century for the royal family in exile. But we do have lots of other things going on at the museum as well. Like you say, it's a centenary year. Mm-hmm. We have a series of lectures going on and talks and activities, both for adults and children. If you visit our website and our centenary page, you'll be able to find out more about that. But today we're really excited. This year is the 300th anniversary of the birth of Flora MacDonald, the Jacobite heroine, and today we're focusing really on Flora MacDonald. We've got a close connection at the museum with Flora. We've had objects on display in the museum since 1925 that belong to Flora. The information on Facebook and on our website for upcoming events. We have a Jacobite series of events running throughout the year with Professor Murray Pittock, and we've got Professor Hugh Cheap. There's various other things. We've got children's activities running, which Flora might be able to say a bit more about as well over the October holidays and at Halloween.
Oh, superb. I think, yeah, definitely, Flora. Tell us a bit more about the children's activities and things going on over the holidays, because as a parent myself, I'm always looking for things to take my kids to. I still haven't taken them to the exhibition, actually, the paintings. They're really excited about seeing that, the exhibition of paintings. My oldest is quite obsessed with Jacobites and Flora MacDonald and Bonnie Prince Charlie. She's
That's
eight.
So great. That's wonderful.
She's eight. Yeah. She loves it.
Yeah.
So
it's lovely to hear of young people being interested.
Well, yeah, she was really upset that her class at school didn't get to come in on that day when all the children were in. 100 children were in at the school. It was an older class.
We had a wonderful time.
It was very well received from the children's
schools.
Very
glad to hear that.
Yeah, it was super. So what other things are coming up over the October holidays, Flora?
Oh, well, we're running an event called Mini Archaeologists, which is like a little chance to experience taking part in a dig for children aimed at around the ages of about 3 or 4 to 7. Welcome to come along. This will be, they can discover, this is a mini dig activity. So we want to welcome little budding archaeologists to come in and help us to identify some objects from our dig and make a little display of them afterwards and go on a little hunt around the museum to find out more about the objects that they've excavated. So we'd like to welcome as many of you as possible. It's aimed at the ages of about approximately 4 to 7.
Okay.
With their parents, and look forward to seeing you there. This will be running on Tuesday the 11th and also Tuesday the 18th. There's more details of that on the Facebook page.
And that's October. That's over the October holidays.
Over the October holidays, yes.
I'm looking forward to that because I quite like to get involved in that.
Oh, look forward to seeing you. Yes,
there's also details on the museum's website as well, but it's probably a good idea to book.
Book, yes, because I know the stone painting that you did over the summer holidays was very well received as well.
Yes, it was, and we had some nurseries, local nurseries wanted to do so. If there are any nurseries that want to get in touch, they should perhaps contact the museum to make a separate booking.
Superb. Flora, how do people get in contact with you at the museum?
You can just simply phone in the museum or leave a message on Facebook.
Okay, that's great. Super.
Get back to you.
That's great. So that's probably the easiest way, just to get people onto your Facebook page and contact you through there. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's great.
Yes, thanks very much.
No problem.
We're also running Halloween activities. There'll be various games and things to take part in, featuring there may be a resident witch lurking in some part of the museum.
Why did you look at Vanessa when you said that?
can help us to make a bit of magic in there, but don't worry, it'll be good magic.
Oh, superb. That sounds like lots
don't
of fun.
Don't do any nasty spells in the museum.
No. There'll be none of that. None of that.
Yeah, I'm having fun getting together the decorations for that at the moment.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, that'll be superb. Oh, that's super. And if anybody wants to keep up to date with what's going on with the events and things coming up at the museum, keep an eye on the Facebook page and the West Highland Museum website.
Yeah, that's you can also way. Subscribe to the on the West Highland Museum website. There's a way to subscribe and you'll get up-to-date emails then directly. If you
fantastic. That's really excellent. Now, the reason we are here today is with the lovely Flora Fraser to discuss her fantastic new biography. Well, I say fantastic. I know it's fantastic because I've read the reviews so far. I haven't read it myself yet, but I will get a copy. Flora, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, thank you, Fiona. It's a great pleasure to be here. And I've had a glimpse just now with Vanessa and Flora, everyone's called Flora, of the Return of the Stuarts exhibition. And these paintings by Laguiller from the Stuart Court in Exile are really amazing, just fabulous. But, of course, Flora MacDonald helped one of the youngest of these, this line of Stuart, Charles Edward Stuart, Bonnie Prince Charlie, to escape from Hanoverian officers and redcoats, if you like, or escape from Uist to Skye, and then she helped him escape onward to the west coast from where he made his final retreat from Scotland, having failed at Culloden. So I think, in a sense, that story of Flora is familiar. I was named after her. I grew up between London and Inverness, and all around me in my childhood and youth, that there was Culloden, the other side of Inverness, and in Inverness itself, the wonderful bronze statue of Flora MacDonald shading her eyes and looking to the west coast, the Western Isles and Skye. And beyond that, I mean, there were tartan boxes with her portrait on, there were engravings. And so she was very familiar to people of my generation. And I grew up as a child in the 60s and as a teenager in the 70s. But I turned away, if you like, from these stories that I knew of the 45 to other realms of 18th century history, and have all my working adult life written historical biography. I never thought of writing about Flora until I was looking for illustrations for my last book, a dual biography of George and Martha Washington in America. And I suddenly saw this very familiar portrait, an engraving of a very familiar Flora MacDonald portrait from the 45. And I thought, what's this doing, this Scottish heroine or icon of the 45 in America of the 1770s, 30 years later? And then I remembered, oh yes, when Dr. Johnson and Boswell made their famous Highland tour and visited Flora on Skye in the 1770s, she being by then a wife and mother of seven, she said to them, "You were lucky to catch me. I'm off to America." And I thought, I've never thought, where did she go? What happened next? So in the book, I tell how she went. She and her husband and family and maternal family were part of the economic sort of wholesale migration from the Isles and the West Coast to America in the early 1770s. They bought what they could afford, and then the American Revolution came. And they thought that there was no way these ramshackle, ragamuffin American patriots could defeat the crown, that the power of the crown was known so well to these Scots from the 45 and from later conflicts, international conflicts, the Seven Years' War, in which many of these Scots had served in Highland regiments. And so they joined up and they became loyalists. Well, we know that, we know which side won the American Revolution. So it turned out to be a story combining, and of course in North Carolina, which is the colony then state to which Flora and her family emigrated, the story of Flora MacDonald as a loyalist is very well known. Mm-hmm. And so joining this jigsaw, and the story that I present in Pretty Young Rebel turned out to be even more adventurous and action-packed than even any of the Jacobite stories I read as a child and in youth. So this is the genesis of the book, and if you like, a mini synopsis of the book. It's very exciting to be here in Fort William and the West Highland Museum with Vanessa and Flora and with others who helped me so much while I was writing the book and were so kind and generous with their astonishing and deep knowledge of the Jacobite period.
I think, Vanessa, you were very privileged to be one of the first people to read a copy of the book.
Yes, I was. I've been doing my dissertation on Flora MacDonald's objects at the West Highland Museum for my dissertation with the University of St Andrews. Mm-hmm. And Flora very kindly let me read one of the earlier editions before it went to print. And it is really good because I've read a lot of Flora MacDonald biographies, and most of them seem to focus just sort of like her life ended after she rescued Bonnie mm-hmm. Prince Charlie, and this is great because it does tell the story of
what happened next.
Yes.
I mean, I probably it's a bit of a sweeping generalisation, but I'll bet that most people, they think of Flora MacDonald helped Bonnie Prince Charlie escape, and then she went off to live a wee life of a croft wife somewhere and raised her children, and that was that. But actually, that was just the start of it, by the sounds of it, you know.
Yeah.
And actually, just on that, when you were saying about about Flora's life in America, I was reading an article about Alexander Graham Bell, you know, invented the telephone and whatever. And in a street in Edinburgh, there's a little plaque or a stone on Charlotte Street or one of these streets in Edinburgh city centre that Alexander Graham Bell was born here. And it's an old BT building. Oh. But that's it. Oh. He actually went on to America and had a really exciting life in America where they celebrate him and, you know, talk about all his great achievements more than we do, you know. So it's a sort of similar thread as Flora MacDonald, really, isn't it?
It is. And I think one of the, if you like, it's not a theme of the book, but it's part of Flora's character. And I think we do really see her character both as a young woman and as a married woman, and then as a settler in America, and then as a displaced loyalist, and when she's back for her last decade in Skye. We see that there are several traits or veins in Flora's character, and one of them is her strong Presbyterian faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting in America, where, of course, many of the Scots who emigrated in the 18th century and later were Presbyterian.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to, there was a kirk already in the area where she settled, and she worshipped there. And in the Presbyterian Historical Archives in Philadelphia, during my research, I went there to ask whether by any chance they'd heard of this woman, Flora MacDonald, and whether by any chance they might have any reference to maybe her family or maybe the parish in which she worshipped in North Carolina. It was the archives for the whole of America. And I walk in, and in the middle of the hall, and they're facing me, is a great banner which says Presbyterians in the American Revolution. And there is the Alan Ramsay of Flora.
Wow.
And I think this is just incredible.
Yeah.
And of course, they were absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
And I reproduce as one of the I've got the book here. I'm just going to, Vanessa knows this, but there is a later oil painting that that in the Presbyterian Historical Archives, which is of Flora processing to church in North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
And that was, I mean, the Presbyterian Historical Archives said, yes, of course we know. And would you like to see the painting of her processing?
Yeah, well, of course I will, if you don't mind.
I would like to. And would it be all right if I reproduced this as an illustration?
This is wonderful. I mean, obviously this doesn't quite work in a recorded interview, but people should go and buy your book so they can view this, you see.
And sell in the West Highland Museum shop.
Exactly, in the West Highland Museum bookshop, yes.
Yeah. So that was fascinating because I'm not of the Presbyterian faith myself. I grew up Catholic, but I learned so much about how the Presbyterian faith sustained Flora and was such a underlay much of the conduct which people remarked upon when she helped Bonnie Prince Charlie. I mean, I'm calling him Bonnie Prince Charlie as a shorthand because, yes, he's Prince Charles Edward Stuart. And her first captor, because she was seized on Skye and taken as a prisoner down to London, where she was under house arrest before she was eventually released the following year. But her first captor on ship, the Furness, and he, General Campbell, later the 4th Duke of Argyll, said, "What made you help him in this dangerous situation?" And she had, as I make clear, and as Vanessa and Flora know, been reluctant to help to take Bonnie Prince Charlie dressed as her Irish maid, yeah, Betty Burke, over the sea to Skye. Well, I would have been reluctant too. Yeah. But I'm not sure I was clear as a child and in my youth about the details, but certainly something that Flora rode Bonnie Prince Charlie the 30 nautical miles from from Benbecula to Skye. But there are, you'll be glad to hear there was a helmsman and a crew of four, but they made the journey safely, although it was a night crossing and there was storms and gales. But General Campbell said, "What made you help him?" And she said, "I would have done the same for you had you been in distress." And this remark, which he repeated in a letter to a correspondent at court, in at the Court of St. James's, went all round London, and I think was very much responsible for her subsequent fame, because, of course, there were other women in the 45 who were extremely brave and might, some of them, well, who Maggie Craig and others have written about, who were acted either with or on behalf of a male relation who was the chief of the clan and raised the clan for the prince. There were countless other women in the 45 who performed other acts of bravery. But I think it was this fact that Flora MacDonald helped Bonnie Prince Charlie, not because she was a Jacobite, but she helped him as an act of clemency. Mm-hmm. And I think this really struck home and, in a way, accounts for her. I don't know what you think, Vanessa, mm-hmm. and Fiona and Flora, but, you know, she was not just a pretty face. She was pretty. Mm-hmm. And indeed, the title I use comes from General Campbell saying to the governor of Dunstaffnage Castle when they're at the ships are at Kerrera and they're going to be a week at anchor. And he says to this Campbell relation up on the castle, "I have a very pretty young rebel aboard. Would you, you know, yeah. would you accommodate her?" Uh-huh. And she's treated in this sort of way. And I think it's, you know, she was not a daughter of a chief. She wasn't a nobleman. Yes, she was closely related to the mm-hmm. MacDonalds. Mm-hmm.
She was gentry, wasn't she?
She was gentry, mm-hmm. exactly. She mm-hmm. was a gentlewoman. Mm-hmm. And she certainly knew all her life how to gain what advantage she could. But often that was trying to get herself out of a terrible, mm-hmm. what you might call a scrape. Yeah. But sometimes things were quite, you know, dangerous scrapes.
I think the reason she became so iconic, though, was because, like you say, it was more she was a humanitarian. She would have yes. treated anybody that was in that desperate position and come to their aid and help them. And as you say, that reputation sort of preceded her before she was taken to London as a prisoner. So by the time she arrived, she was treated as a heroine mm-hmm. by the Jacobites, although she wasn't a Jacobite, but also the Hanoverians accepted her and treated her with great kindness. She was taken in to Lady Primrose's house. We have a fan in our collection that was gifted wow. by Lady Primrose to Flora. Lady Primrose raised money for her while she was in London. So when she came back to Skye, she was actually a fairly independent, wealthy lady. I think it was £10,000, was it?
Okay. £1,500.
From my point of view, you know, Flora MacDonald seemed like, you know, Vanessa, you said humanitarian. I think, yes, a woman of principle. And she stood up for what she believed in unfailingly. And I think for women in that, you know, sort of 18th century time, that was quite unique, I feel.
Yeah. And also, I cannot remember which source it was, but when I was in National Library Scotland, I read one of the sources that was written about the rebel women just shortly after
the female rebels. The female rebels.
Are you going to check your?
No. Don't worry. I'm only doing this.
That's good because readers, sort of listeners, might be interested in hearing about it. But it was very interesting. She was the final chapter in the book, but every rebel up to that point, they were very derogatory about them, about what they did, making them seem like they were disobeying their husbands, but by the time Flora's the only one that's treated with any respect in that book.
Absolutely. And the author of The Female Rebels, in a way, bears out, well, at the time of the 45, but later, Scott, Walter Scott, speculates rather interestingly in that wonderful book for children, Tales of a Grandfather. And he says possibly the English Jacobites, like Lady Primrose, treated Flora so well because they were uncomfortable about not having come out for the prince.
Interesting.
I think that's in Tales of a Grandfather. It's a wonderful book. Frankly, I've liked it as a child. I love it as an adult. And, of course, Scott is so interesting.
I hadn't thought of it from that perspective before.
No,
yes. I just thought that the English Jacobites were very happy to sort of have their little drinking clubs and toast the prince. But as soon as it came to the crunch and the Highland armies are marching south, they were just unwilling to actually join the prince.
Yes, I think there is that absolutely too. And I think many always said, sorry, France isn't behind you. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know.
Whereas the Highlanders had already committed before they realised
that
France wasn't going to.
Yeah. So I think that anyone who said this is a crazy madcap attempt, I'm not with you. Well, they were right, but they missed something both glorious and and inglorious for those who suffered death and transportation. And Scott, who did so much, in a sense, to bring Scottish history to the attention of a wider world. Mm-hmm. Sir Walter Scott did so much to bring the attention of a wider world to Scottish history. And he was always fascinated by Flora Macdonald, and of course had her wedding lines or marriage contract in which she signs herself Flory, F-L-O-R-Y. And it's, and of course, the Gaelic, I will not.
We have a copy of the contract in the museum archives, actually. So that can be accessed via Loch Arbour Archive Centre.
Oh, fantastic.
And also on these wedding lines, the marriage contract, it's quite interesting. You get several of those signing witnesses, some of whom are from her husband's family, Alan Macdonald, who was from the Macdonalds of Slate on Skye. Some were of her family, the Macdonalds of Clanranald. And they sign Macdonald just in one document. It's Macdonald, it's McDonald, I had to put it, as well as a glossary of people and places at the front of the book, which no one in here will be confused by the people, but people not used to all the different variations of who's a, you know, who comes from where, which Macdonalds come from where. But the places, and it was just so odd, because with places there was both, Milton on South Uist, and there was Cross Creek, now Fayetteville in North Carolina, and there was Halifax, Nova Scotia, and New York, and London, and so her life was extraordinary. From the very moment that Flora comes to public attention when she's in her 20s, she's seized upon by some of Scotland's greatest poets and writers. So James Hogg, the Ettrick Shepherd, writes this beautiful poem in which it's later set to music. Scott models Flora MacIver in Waverley on Flora Macdonald to some degree. Robert Louis Stevenson thought of writing, he says, I tell this in the sort of last chapter of the book, which is about Flora's afterlife, And he thought, he was in a sanatorium in Europe, thought, so like to write about Flora Macdonald, and he names all the people in the Lochiel, all the people involved in Bonnie Prince Charlie's flight after Culloden. And although he doesn't write this book he was thinking of, he does write that marvellous song, which of course adapted is now the theme music for Outlander on TV. And it runs through, and there are more, but she is part of the fibre of Scottish history. Mm-hmm. And you could say, but all she did was
rode from Bonnie Prince Charlie.
Yeah. But I think Scots here and the Scottish diaspora in America, Australia, Canada, and elsewhere really find something of her character. Fiona, I think you said her principles, which are familiar to them and are important to them, and in a sense by which many live themselves.
Mm-hmm. I think it was interesting what you'd mentioned earlier today about the fact that Flora Macdonald is revered in America, and the fact that during the Revolution she was actually a loyal to the British Crown, and so she was a rebel from their perspective. But again, they've adopted her and sort of now revere her, and they have colleges named after her, and you know, she's clearly an icon for them. So you know, so even for those that she's been a rebel for over the years, she's still sort of an enduring sort of heroine. It's a really, really odd sort of position to be in.
It's astonishing. Vanessa and Flora and I were talking earlier, Fiona, about Flora Macdonald College in North Carolina, which was the first vocational college for women opened in the state. Mm-hmm. And so many I met in Virginia, which is, of course, just the state just north of North Carolina, and in North Carolina itself, their grandmothers or their great aunts had been to Flora Macdonald College. And there's a wonderful book, which I think you have at the...
We have it in the museum library.
In the museum
early 20th century.
Yes. And I think there's a photograph of girls, students at the college on May Day, and they're set perhaps to dance Flora Macdonald's Fancy.
Oh, wow.
Or some other. They're certainly set, and they're in...
It's fantastic.
It's a wonderful photo. They're wearing, you know, they've got the tartan sash, and my eyesight's so bad, but they're certainly tartan skirts if they're not.
Well, I was going to say, if anyone's been to any Highland Games anywhere, that particular dress will be a familiar sight with the Highland dancers. Mm-hmm. Flora Macdonald's lilt is
exactly.
The dance, you know, that's the outfit that the dancers wear with the sash and everything. Yeah. So if anyone's been to Highland Games and watched the Highland dancing, they'll be familiar with that outfit. And I think, you know, it's fantastic because that photograph was taken in 1900.
Yes.
And we're now in 2022, and
still,
you know, people still wear these outfits to dance today. You know, I think that's just wonderful.
No, and the Flora Macdonald Games went on till quite recently. I mean, they're now renamed. And the new Museum of the American Revolution, which is a totally new, wonderful building in Philadelphia, there's an interactive map you can press to find, you know, who's the sort of person who symbolizes that state. So it's George Washington for Virginia. And, and you press North Carolina, and there is Flora Macdonald.
You know, I mean, I just think that's incredible, isn't
it? It's wonderful.
You know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
There's probably people listening who would never even have thought of the connection, you know, across the pond with Flora Macdonald and our Scottish history like that. I mean, obviously, you know, people know that folk emigrated from here across to America and Australia and so on and so forth.
And another thing which sort of gets me every time is when her husband and one of her sons is taken prisoner, and her other sons are fighting for the Loyalist cause elsewhere in America, but she's being robbed. She remains at this plantation, but really it's more of a steading. That's what they could afford to buy way up the Cape Fear River. And when her son-in-law, who's a man of means, he was an illegitimate son, but a favoured son of the MacLeod, the wicked man or the red man, and so he was left a certain amount of money, and he was in the Marines. He gets Flora and his wife, Flora's daughter, out of North Carolina and to British New York. York. Okay. I mean, who knew Flora MacDonald in New York?
Mm-hmm. I'll be just perfectly honest.
Too great.
It's news to me right now, so I'm even more intrigued.
Yes.
So if people want to read more, and I'm hoping there's lots of people like me going, I can't wait to read this because it sounds fantastic. So it's Flora MacDonald, Pretty Young Rebel.
That's
by
right.
Flora Fraser. It was out yesterday. It's available to purchase from the West Helen Museum Bookshop and other outlets online. And people should go and buy a copy. It's been wonderful to chat with you, Flora.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Fiona, and thank you, Vanessa, and Flora, for your hospitality at the museum.
Very welcome. Yeah, you're welcome.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about or plug or anything like that?
I don't know. We've got objects of material culture at the museum related to Flora, and also linked to the American connection as well. We've got a teacup that was supposedly from a tea set that she took to America with her.
Wow.
And it has come back to... It was gifted to a family, it stayed in the States, and then eventually it was gifted to a relative in Edinburgh who donated it to the museum. So that's got really good provenance, and that there are objects in American museums still as well, like her shoe buckles. We have shoe buckles at the museum too. Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.